I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Today on What It Takes, I'm chatting with someone who's built both a business empire and a family and somehow managed to keep her sense of humor through it all. Julie Cole is the co-founder of Mabel's Labels, a company she started with friends around her kitchen table in Toronto, Ontario. That's one of North America's most loved brands for durable, personalized name labels. She's a mom of six, a recovered lawyer, a best-selling author, and someone who's appeared just about everywhere, from the Today Show and the Marilyn Dennis Show to Huffington Post and the Globe and Mail. But what I love most about Julie is that she's not just talking about business. She's living it in the thick of life. She's been through the pivots, the sleepless nights, and the hard lessons, and she still shows up with energy, insight, and realness. We're going to talk about how she made that leap from law to labels, what it took to build something big while raising a young family, and how thoughtful business planning helped Mabel's Labels grow into the success it is today. So let's jump in. Hi, Julie.
Oh, hey, Jamie.
How's it going?
It's great. I'm so happy to be here and chatting with you today.
I'm so glad you're here. And you know, I was excited to talk to you about some of our common mom, you know, multiple kid, you know, similarities. But I want to go back to the early days. Like I can imagine what it was like then. Where did the idea for Mabel's Labels come from? And like, what made you decide to actually like take the leap of faith to do it? Having an idea is one thing, but actually going about, you know, following through on it is another, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So as you mentioned, I was I'm a recovered lawyer. Recovery is going very well. Thank you. And Mabel's Labels really came around for two reasons. And one was that along with my sister and two of our friends from college, who we started the business with, we had small children and we were noticing that, you know, our stuff, our belongings were getting lost. We all had sippy cups and bottles and wipes containers. They were getting mixed up. We're like, there's got to be a durable label out there that's better than masking tape and permanent marker. And there wasn't. So we actually filled a gap in the marketplace. Our first label was a highly personalized dishwasher, microwave safe label that parents could put on all of their kids' stuff to ensure it made its way home. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing, and a real catalyst for me, was that at that time, my eldest child had just turned three, and he was diagnosed with autism. And I didn't think that the traditional workforce was going to suit my family needs as much as maybe previous to the diagnosis. I wanted to really be able to have the flexibility of entrepreneurship so that I could advocate for him, set up programming for him. And honestly, he had just turned three. He already had two younger siblings. So it was a busy time anyway. So that's when I said to my co-founders, okay, we've had this great idea. We've done some R&D. What do you think? Is this the time for us to go? And they're like, yeah, it's go time. So we started, and that was in my sister's basement 22 years ago.
That is crazy. What did the first few years of business building look like? I mean, obviously when you first started, you didn't have six kids, but you had six kids in the mix in those early days. What was that like?
Yeah, look, it was busy times, right? So I had the three and then went on to have three more. It was pretty wild. I mean, people tend to romanticize entrepreneurship and they think it's all going to be TED Talks and book deals. But honestly, it looks a lot like going to your sister's basement and making labels till 2 a.m. and then getting up at 6 a.m. with the kids. So there really is nothing like glamorous about it. And I think that people need to manage those expectations when they are stepping into entrepreneurship. It's not like put the kids to bed, pour a glass of wine, throw on Netflix. It's like getting on your laptop or making things, you know. So you do have to kind of realize that going in. So you're not going to get like a lot of me time, a lot of downtime. You might not have the funds to go on holidays or get a new car because you're doing without a salary. So all of those things have to be taken into account. It was a busy time, but it was a lot of fun, right? Like if you have a little bit of an appetite for risk and entrepreneurship is for you, then this is the stuff that's going to give you dopamine hits. This is the stuff that's, it's like sport, right? And I think one of the things that worked very well and contributed to our early success was that there were four of us, right? So throwback 22 years ago, there weren't things like this, Jamie. You couldn't listen to other entrepreneurs, learn from them. You couldn't join a Facebook group or a LinkedIn Live. You couldn't do those things. So it could be a very, very lonely experience, particularly for those who were solo entrepreneurs. So for us, having a partnership meant that we had company and we had people to bounce ideas off. We had sisterhood. And also we had four brains and four different skill sets coming to the table. And it also meant that we could divide and conquer. So I didn't have to do everything. Not one person had to do everything. It certainly led to a lot of feisty conversation. We had to really manage our communication and manage our relationships. But in those early days, having a partnership definitely helped contribute to that early growth.
You just covered so many things about what it takes to run a business. And I think that you guys actually kind of had a leg up in starting with the four of you, because I think that some things build up to that, right? Like some companies say, hey, I recognize that I need this. And so they bring that on. But you guys started off that way. That's amazing.
We did. And that is a really good point. You know, you have these people with different skill sets, different talents, and then, you know, you naturally go on and focus on that part of the business. So, you know, one of my partners was a financial planner. So that was great. We had her deal with the banks and deal with that. But also it's like sharing the risk too, right? So if we had to invest in new technology, it's like, okay, I'm not pulling it all from my pot of money, you know, buttons and pocket lint when you're a young mom and, you know, there's not a lot of money. We just, you know, finished articles and that sort of thing. So being able to share kind of the sweat equity and also like the workload and also the financial load was also great. And it meant that we didn't really need, we bootstrapped. So we didn't actually go out and look for funding or get funding. And part of the reason for that too was because there's four of us and we didn't really want to give away any of our company because we only owned 25% each. So things to consider.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So financial investment is one big thing that I think you kind of, it's like a check mark on the, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you're going to you know, that's one thing you have to do. But I don't know that the responsibility and the weight and the risk is not one of those line items on there. So that's actually a very good point. I'm so glad you said that, because they didn't just share the financial load. They shared the risk. They shared the, you know, that response, the mental load, like all those things that you're not putting a dollar sign to that actually is measurable. Yes. And so obviously you're talking about responsibilities and skill sets. So the job itself, the sweat equity is shared as well. But I think that mental load and that weight of responsibility that businesses owners carry typically by themselves, even when you hire on a team and even when you delegate things or even if you get funding, that still lies with you alone. So to have that be a shared experience for you, wow,
that's right. Because the founder, like the founder mentality and the founder stress and that overwhelming sense of responsibility is something that only really the founder feels. Yes. So yes, to your point, to have that shared. And also, you know, when you have those moments of like, who do I think I am? What was I thinking leaving law and starting a label company? This is ridiculous. Then the others would be there to be like, nah, Julie, we got this. And then when somebody else was having a little meltdown thinking, why did I quit my teaching career? We could be like, we got this. So even almost like that mental health piece, you know, we were there for each other. And again, it is important to recognize like this was the old days, right? So this was where you couldn't find those things elsewhere unless you were turning up like at an in real life networking event, which, you know, can be a thing too.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've been to my share of those things and have even built my own team, but I think that there's pros and cons, right? To, like you said, you had to definitely be intentional about managing the relationships, the communication, all that kind of stuff. But if you have those kind of skills, which it sounds like you guys did, you're still here today, then I'm almost looking at that like enviously, like, oh my gosh, I wish I had had something like that, you know, back when I was trying to figure this out and trying to plan everything and looking at, oh, what does the future look like? But how am I going to get through today? And that's kind of what I want to talk about next is when it came to building Mabel's Labels, was there like a business plan from day one? Did it evolve more like organically? You had four of you. So maybe one of you was the planner. One of you was the, you know, hey, let's
It's true. Yeah. You know what? Like I will say when we first started, it was sort of that era of we were kind of the OG mompreneurs, like these moms who started businesses. And we felt like that title was very, like it kind of portrayed us as hobbyists. And we weren't. From the moment we started, it wasn't like I was a knitter and I was selling knitting things on Etsy or anything like that. Like I never made a label for fun, right? So, you know, from the very first time we sat down, we took minutes at our meeting, we did business planning, we picked brains, we, you know, got mentors, we did all of the things. But it's so funny because like when I think back, I think we thought, well, we'll do well enough that maybe, you know, it will supplement groceries or it will, you know, contribute in some way. But then we operated in a way that this thing is going to be an empire. So it is, I do think it's really important from the start for anyone listening and thinking about doing this journey is to take yourself very seriously from the start, do the business plan, know that it can change a little bit, know what your growth strategies are, know what your goals are, because you know what, like now, there's Mabel's Labels is a 20,000 square foot facility with like 50 full-time employees that swells up in the summer. If I was still in the basement making labels, that's a fail. I don't know how to make a label. I shouldn't know how to make a label. So you do have to do a business plan and revisit it. It's a living document and be like, okay, 2 years on, do we want to be in a bigger basement? And then do we want to be And then when do we hire? And then when do we, you know, we hire our worker bees? Then when do we hire managers and know it's time for us to let go of some of that? So you need to be planning for these things. And I don't also want to romanticize too much around the partnership thing because it is fabulous, but you really do. And I've seen it happen. You know, I'm in this space. I've seen it happen so many times. You want to make sure you know who you're getting to bed with. You know what the expectations are. You set those up. And for goodness sake, please, while everyone's still friends, do a shareholders agreement. So if things go pear-shaped, everything's set in stone from when you were friends. Because if you think marriage divorce is hard, you should try business partner divorce.
That's a really, really good point. And I think that that's definitely worth noting because I have seen both sides of that. I've seen partnerships fall apart and relationships, you know, kind of going sour. But I was really just admiring, you know, because I have seen that side, what you guys have been able to overcome. And really, like you were saying, you know, we had to manage this as if, you know, you were looking at, you planned for it, right? Like you were like, we have to manage our relationships. We have to manage expectations. We have to manage communication. And that just, I got the sense that it was very proactive, intentional that you guys were doing it that way. And I think that that's important.
Oh, sir, go ahead. Yeah. And it really was. I actually just wanted to mention something that I was speaking to an entrepreneur named Jay Carls, and he is the co-founder of Midday Squares. And I had him on one of my LinkedIn lives. And he started a company with his sister and her husband, and they're doing phenomenally well. It's, you know, raving success. They're taking the world by storm. But I think what they did really well was from the very start, they've got like a marriage counselor for the three of them. They go to therapy every week. Even when things are really good, they have prioritized that relationship of the three co-founders because they are family as well, you know, and really invested in that. And I thought that was a very wise move.
That's really important. And what kind of strategy, because that's a very intentional strategy, right? What planning tools or strategies helped you the most when you turn this from an idea, you know, in the basement to a full scale operation to what it is today, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, in those early days, we were intentional about our strategic planning and, you know, our finances and budgets and things like that. But at the same time, you know, I said we were bootstrapping. We were really scrappy. And I think that is something that's interesting about people who bootstrap. Like we were just so gritty and scrappy. And at the same time, we were putting out like the brush fires every day. So yes, we had this idea of like all the things like up here, the blue sky thinking, but we were really still like really in the weeds in those early days, which every entrepreneur is, right? Like you're doing all the things. I think one of the things a lot of entrepreneurs entrepreneurs fail at is knowing when to step away from that. So, you know, eventually you get to the point, like if you're not working on the business because you're working so much in the business, then nobody's working on the business. You can hire somebody to make labels for you. You can hire people to lick envelopes and send your labels out the door, whatever. But can you hire somebody to do the work that, you know, that founder mentality takes and making sure that you've got support for that? Like, do you have a mentor? Do you have a coach? Those sorts of things. You want to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with some support during all of this time. Because also, I'm not sure if you realize, but another person I interviewed once, Shulamit, who is an entrepreneur's therapist, the rate of mental health issues with entrepreneurs is extremely high. So we want to make sure that we're always managing that as well. Because if we burn out, you know, there's a lot of perfectionists, there's a lot of control freaks, there's a lot of folks with undiagnosed ADD who are entrepreneurs. So we need to be making sure that we're putting the right supports in place so that we don't burn out, so that we know how to help our companies best.
That's a really good point. And I always say there is a very appropriate time where you pay your dues. You know, you call it that time period of you just pay your dues. You do everything. You wear all the hats. You do every single thing, every job, because it just needs to get done. And then you have to get to a point where you realize and you pivot. If I'm going to grow, like I'm in the way now of our company's growth because of that. And some people realize it and some people never do. And I think that that's where you get into those problems and you start to look at those statistics. It's because it's not sustainable, right? There's a very appropriate time frame to be doing that. But then you've got to, it should only be a certain amount of time. Did
Knowing
you ever
hit? When to step away and when to make decisions is a life skill that I find a lot of people don't have.
Yes.
Like, no, and I get it, because entrepreneurs, like, this is your baby, right? So, I mean, and even for us, when we hired like the worker bees who would make the labels, that was easy. When we hired managers and we had to hand over, you know, the decision-making, like, that was tough.
Not easy.
But here's the thing, like, if you don't do it, then you're not going to benefit from seeing their skills, their entrepreneurialism. They're not going to have the skin in the game. And then you're not going to retain them. And it's going to cost you a fortune, because you're going to have this constant revolving door of managers and nobody wants to work for you.
Yeah, it's what hard do you want? Because that's actually harder.
Yes.
Right. And so it's the hard that's right in front of you. And then there's the, okay, this is going to be hard, but that is actually much, much harder. And we kind of do that with everything. I think that's kind of how we are with humans as humans, right?
It's like with the kids. Like, I'm like, my kids learned very early to be independent. Yes, I had to invest the time, but, you know, that was great when my 3-year-old could get themselves ready for preschool and out the door. Like, you know,
well, and so it's
like short term
easy
is long term hard, right? It is effective. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, that's why you mentioned mentorship, coaching, accountability, really, is what you were saying, is to have others around you that have maybe been there before, can hold you accountable to, hey, you might need to start looking at, and hold you accountable to things that you actually really want to do anyway. Because it's not like anybody was like, oh, I'm going to do all the things. Nobody starts a business and thinks that. You just kind of get carried away and swept up into the weeds and into the daily thing. And it sometimes takes somebody else to be, hello, you
Which
shouldn't
was,
be doing this anymore.
The accountability piece is another, like, I'm so glad you mentioned that accountability piece, because that was another good thing about the co-founders. It's like, we had to report back to each other, and I was going to report back and say that I hadn't done what was on my list, right? Whereas it's easy to say to yourself, oh, I'm going to cut myself some slack. I had a sick baby last night or whatever. But when you're reporting back to your co-founders, it definitely increases the accountability, which again, will lead to success or early success.
Yeah. If you have the right kind of people that are willing to push through it and move forward. Did you guys ever hit a moment where you had to seriously pivot? Because you talked about those transitions of growth and hiring on managers or whatever, but how did planning or maybe even lack of planning impact like a major pivot that you had to take?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Okay. So I'm going to say, I mean, obviously a lot of business were impacted by this, but when the pandemic hit, because think about it, like our labels, we are partnered with like thousands of camps, summer camps. Well, summer camps shut down, thousands of schools shut down. Like back to school season is like, we run around like our hair is on fire at Mabel's Labels, getting the labels out the door in 24 hours. So that happened. But I'm going to tell you, Like, this is where the joys of being an entrepreneur is that you can create a culture that you love. So already our team knew how to work from home. We are always like, you know, we didn't judge people by their presenteeism. It was like, were they productive? Were they meeting their goals? That sort of thing. So then when a lot of people were working from home, then we were already doing that. So we weren't scrambling, being like, oh, we have to get people laptops. And we were already doing that. And also because our employees, we always gave them time to like play in the sandbox, especially like our IT nerds. Like, they really need that time. And then they're very entrepreneurial. And again, with that skin in the game. So yes, we shut down. But then right away, one of our managers was like, I'm putting together a team now. You know what we can make? We can make those labels that are big circles that say stand 6 feet apart. So it's like, right, we can do that. So we actually came up with all sorts of like new products that were COVID specific. And that wasn't the founders who came up with those ideas. That was our team. And because that's the culture we want to create, where everybody's on board and doing the work and invested.
Wow, congratulations. That's, I think, a really big testament to what happens when it's not if, when the heat gets turned up, when you hit challenges, when the tides turn, how does your business react? And your culture was set up such that you guys thrived.
And I do think, you know, a big part of that, because like, you're right, like when it happens, is about being transparent and like not... like people will make up their own narrative if you don't tell them what's going on, right? So just be transparent with your team. If you don't know an answer, don't pretend like you do. Just be like, you know what? I don't know, but we're going to figure it out. Or when we do, I'm going to let you know. And, you know, we always say in times of change or trouble or adversity, it's a time to turn to each other, not on each other. And that applies at home and that applies at work.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to wrap up with that because I don't think we can beat that one. What a wonderful point. So let's move on to our signature question, which is, in your experience, can you just tell us what it takes to be a business owner in this day and age?
Yeah, I think it takes, I do think you need that appetite for risk. I think that you need to have that grit. You need to be able to sacrifice some of the nicer things. You might not be able to go get your manicures. You might not get the traditional me time. You've got to know what it's going to look like. But I think most of all, you need perspective. You know, I think that's been my secret sauce. I don't take myself that seriously. At the end of the day, I make labels, right? I'm not saving lives. Let's keep this all in perspective. So there's no point in losing my mind over really anything. And that is how I've managed to, you know, have my kids without having, you know, issues. Like a kid, the kids have never made me cry. Like, I've never been that mom in the closet having a breakdown. Like, I don't find them that, like, they're just kids. Like, they're fine too, right? So I just know when to just let go of what's not important. Like, I literally don't sweat the small stuff. But I also want to say, and I want to acknowledge that sometimes entrepreneurship has a bit to do with privilege. And I mean, we see that with, you know, like a Kardashian or people like that who have loads of money. So their risk isn't as high. So when people are like, oh, wow, Julie, you're so brave. Look what you did. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? I have 3 degrees. My spouse, like, is a partner at a big firm. Like, I have parents who raised me with self-confidence and supported me. Like, this isn't that big a risk for me. I've got things to fall back on. When I see like a single mom who's like hustling, doing 2 jobs and doing a side hustle, I'm like, now that to me is like super impressive. So, and then you see with entrepreneurs too, like if you sell your company, you make a ton of money, then you can go. That's why you get serial entrepreneurs, because you can take the risk to launch another company, right? So I do, although, you know, luck is a little part of it. I know there's a lot of grit, a lot of sacrifice and all of that. But I do like to have a moment to just acknowledge that sometimes there's a little bit of privilege that goes along with it too.
You are the first person to acknowledge that. And I don't think it's because nobody's ever thought about it or, you know, just saying it like that. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. And even thinking about my own experience, I had a husband who had a very stable job. And although my, you know, prospects were kind of changing, I was kind of like, it never felt like a big risk for me either. Same situation. It was like, okay, and there's some privilege in that. And that's a very important thing. I think, man, I wish that wasn't my last question to you, but I think that's a really good point to just kind of leave with our listeners. And guys, I love Julie's energy. She's proof that you don't have to choose between being a present parent and like a very powerful business owner. It's building a brand out of your home to taking it, having it take off across, you know, even North America. World. Yeah, and the world. So I think, Julie, you're packed with heart, hustle, a lot of practical wisdom, things that, you know, I've talked to a lot of different people, a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, people who have done this sometimes multiple times. And you brought some insights that we just haven't really talked about yet on this show. So guys, if you're listening and you want to check out her work, Julie, where can they find you?
So obviously, everybody should go to mableslabels.com.
Yes. But
if you want to find things about me specifically, you can go to mableslabels.com/Julie Cole. And there's stuff there. You can order my book from there. And I'm in the usual places like LinkedIn and Instagram and so on and so forth. So come find me. I'm easy to find.
Oh, yeah. On Instagram, she's always dropping gems for entrepreneurs and parents alike. So thank you so much for listening in. And Julie, thanks so much for joining us on What It Takes. And until then, we'll see you guys next time.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to SeekerSolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at SeekerSolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.